Recording in progress.
Good morning. It is 9 a.m. We are here today, December 21st, 2021, in the Open Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnik, Guam, for the formal hearing continuation of OPAPA 21-007 G4S Security Systems Guam Inc. versus the Department of Education. Presiding over the hearing today is Public Auditor Benjamin J.F. Cruz. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Jared Hernandez and Vince Duenas. Will appellant G4S please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning, everyone. Jared for Pattis on behalf of G4S. Present with me is Eric Roberto.
Thank you. Will purchasing agency DOE please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. James State for GDOE. With me is Vince Dela Cruz, also GDOE.
Thank you. Will interested party Pacific Data Systems, Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. My name is Joshua Walsh here for interested party Pacific Data Systems.
Thank you. Will interested party Technologies for Tomorrow, Inc. please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Good morning. Mars Johnson here for Technologies for Tomorrow, Inc. I believe we have an institutional representative via Zoom named Dan Coco.
Thank you. We may proceed.
I think we finished with you yesterday, right?
That's correct, Your Honor, and I have no further witnesses.
Your Honor, will we call Ms. Dela Cruz or GDOE?
Please raise your right hand. Please state your full name for the record.
Vincent Dela Cruz.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you brought together is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Good morning, Mr. Delacruz.
Good morning.
Could you please state your position for GDOE?
I am the data processing manager from the Guam Department of Education.
Now, how many years have you been in that position?
About 19.
19 years, okay. So are you familiar with the IFP 26 regarding this protest today?
Yes.
Okay. Could you please describe what was your role in the IFP 26?
My role for the IFP 26 was to develop the technical specifications for expanding the current wireless access points in the Department of Education.
Okay. Can you please tell us a little bit about what the IFP 26 exactly is? What is the service for GDOE?
Well, so IFP 26 is to install wireless access points to the different classrooms. We initially had four other projects before that, so this is an expansion of the current of the current service to put wireless access points in the classrooms that don't have any wireless access points. And then additionally, we also expanded out to the parking lot due to COVID, so parents can come in and use the hotspot right in their car as they come into the schools.
Regarding the creation of the specifications, did you utilize a team to help create these
specifications? Yes, I did.
Okay. Can you please describe how many members and how did you guys come up with the specifications?
For the technical specification, we used I used my systems as well as my program coordinator to kind of put the specifications together. What we did, though, is the specifications are really based off the last four specifications we did, right? So really, it's just an expansion. As Mr. Roberto alluded to, with the way the network was, technically he's taking a wire and just kind of mounting the access point on the ceiling and just running the wire down to an existing port.
So you mentioned you did four other contracts similar to this one. IFP similar to this one. How many years total would that be if each one is a multi-year? How many years in this service?
So we started in 2013, I think. So I guess if we include this one, we'll probably go into about 8 years now.
Okay. And for the four other agreements, were you able to successfully complete from start to finish the four other services?
Yes.
Okay. At any of those other IFBs, you were also part of the specification, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Was a contractor's license required in the other four?
No, it was not.
Did you ever waive any licenses or requirements?
No, we did not.
Sorry, so did you take part in the review evaluation for the IFB?
Yes, I did take part in the review and evaluation of the technical specifications.
Okay, so did you receive the questions from the prospective bidders?
Yes, we did.
Okay, so you are aware of the question that came up, although answered in the IFB, brought up again via Amendment 4, is that correct?
That's correct.
And this was again questioning if a contractor's license was required.
That's correct. Well, actually, the contractor's license is only asked in the questions.
Right. So, do you consider yourself a contractor's licensing expert?
No, not really.
Would you be comfortable making a determination regarding the contractor's license?
No.
Did you attempt to reach out to experts?
Yes, I did.
Could you please describe a little bit what happened there?
So, when the question was first posed, at least to us, right, procurement sent it over, said, let's kind of look at the questions. I looked at the questions and, you know, again, me not being a licensed expert, the first thing I did was, you know, the question was about contractor's license, C68. So I called the Guam Contracting Association. I guess there's a Guam Contracting Association. So when I spoke to the lady, they gave me another number to call the Guam Licensing Board. Right? So I did, I guess the number they gave me wasn't working. So as I tried calling, obviously I called during the day, and then I called later on during the afternoon. I guess nobody's answering the phone, so I wasn't sure if that number was correct or not. Went to their website, got the number, tried to call again, no answers, at least for me. So what I did was, as I was on their website, you know, I took whatever information was there. I saw the rules and regulations. I based myself off the rules and regulations, and kind of made a determination that, you know, a lot of the language in the rules and regulations really referred to construction. So I, you know, right off the bat, I was thinking, oh well, this is not really a construction work. I can understand that because if you're going to fabricate conduits into the structure itself, I would assume you'd have to have some type of license for that, right? So seeing that we weren't doing any of that type of work, I made a determination that we don't need a contractor's license.
At least, is that in terms of your IFB?
Correct.
So did you then do your own research after not being able to get a hold of at least?
Yeah. Well, that's the time I was doing the research right then and there, right?
If I can just direct your question, is following your research and your calls, after that, were you comfortable making a call as to what exact licenses would be required?
Still, I wasn't sure because I'm not a contracting licensed person, right? So really, obviously, not being a contractor's license, the way we answered the question was, well, if there are other licenses that probably are needed, we would assume that the vendor would probably have more knowledge of the type of contracting license they need specifically. But again, we've done this 4 times already. The wiring we did, I don't believe we even required the contractor's license. So we used a past experience and past knowledge that we've done to be able to answer the question.
So would you say to your, based on your experience and knowledge, you did the best you could with the specifications for a GDOE service?
That's correct.
So moving on to the actual IFB itself, can you briefly describe what about TFT's submission demonstrated their responsibility, starting with their company profile?
Well, so I think they've been in business for about 27 years now. I'm not sure there, but they've done a lot of work in the IT field. They've done some work for me with some of the software and hardware that we've installed. They've done the UPSs for me. I believe they've done some work with some other GovCom agencies. Primarily, they also did the last 4 installations of our wireless access points. So, you know, obviously they were qualified to do the job because it was completed, and I think it's successful and what we've done.
Can you please speak to any technical resources in their bid that demonstrate a responsibility?
Well, they have a local presence. They have people who work for them locally, as well as they also have the Aruba expert, the brand of the equipment that we're buying.
Could you speak towards any of their detailed plan or tech solution included in their bid submission?
Sure. They actually, the way they answered the bid was they answered every single component technically through what we've asked for. So if we asked for a particular size of conduit, that's what we did. If we wanted to run a certain way, that's, you know, there was nothing in their bid that demonstrated that they could not do the work or they would not do the work. Based off my experience, at least for the work that we've done, because I've done this like four times, we technically laid it out for the vendor on what they needed to do. So really, all they had to do was just kind of follow the bid.
So based on your past experience with TFT, they were able to successfully complete start to finish the same exact service.
That's correct. Which is evident today.
So I guess my last question, in your professional opinion, based on your years of experience and the service, do you believe that TFT can successfully perform this IMB for GDOE?
Yes.
Thank you, Vince. No other further question now.
Did you want a question before we have them? Or?
Oh, no, they can go ahead first.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Mr. Dela Cruz.
Good morning.
So just to be clear, you don't have a license from the Contractor's License Board, correct? You don't have any licenses from the Contractor's License Board?
No, I do not.
Okay. And you stated that you you looked online at the Contractor's License Board, and you looked at their website, and you pulled their rules and regulations, correct? And so you reviewed those rules and regulations. And so based on your review of those rules and regulations, you felt that you were qualified to make a determination as to what licenses were required for this bid?
I felt I was qualified to answer the question that was being posed.
Okay,
because the question was being posed, so I needed to answer the question.
Okay, so how many times did you read those rules and regulations?
Several.
Okay, did you read every single license in those rules and regulations to figure out what licenses may be required?
I tried.
Okay. And you testified, though, that you wouldn't consider yourself an expert with respect to contractors licensing on one, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and how many times did you attempt to call the Contractor's License Board?
So the first day, and then the day before the questions were due. So I think twice.
So you called them twice in one day?
No.
So
I think when the questions were given to me, I contacted the Guam Contractors Association first.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a number that day, and I think that's like a day or two after that. And then, I forget when the questions closed, but like the day before the questions closed, we're only given like 4 or 5 days to answer questions for the IFP, something to that effect. So I'd like to say at least twice, just to try to see if I can, you know, get some kind of answer.
Okay, so you make at least two attempts.
At least two attempts.
Okay. So at least twice. Do you think you made any more than 5 attempts?
Yes.
Yes, it's a yes or no. Do you know for sure? I don't want you to speculate
or
guess.
So do we consider an attempt on the day, or is it like I called, that's one attempt, I try again?
Yeah, every time you try to call.
I think five. At least five. Five or six. Because I tried to call at least 2 or 3 times.
Did you ever try to, or did you ever think to go down to their office to try to speak to someone over there?
No, I did not.
Okay. But you know that the question was raised by one of the bidders, PES, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And at that point, when the specific question was raised, you didn't think that it was important to get an actual answer from the contractor's license?
I tried to get an actual answer.
But you didn't get any answer.
I did not get an
so
answer.
So you just made the determination yourself?
To answer the question, yes.
Okay, and, but you testified earlier that no bid license was required for the other four contracts.
That's correct.
Correct? But you don't know for sure if the license was required because you never actually confirmed that with the contractor's license board.
We did not.
Okay. So just building off of the testimony where you said definitively, I think, that a license was not required for those four prior contracts. So why didn't you just say in amendment number four when the question was asked by PDS that no license was actually required?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, because I wasn't sure if there were any other license required.
But they were asking specifically about the C-68 license.
Yeah, but I also didn't want to lock in the question, right? So at the same time, I was also trying to get the response back from the contract, the law licensing board.
So you didn't know at the time when you answered the question, but you can sit here today and say that you know for a fact that in all four prior contracts that a C-68 license was not required.
Yeah, so we didn't think a C-68 license was required.
Okay, so why didn't you just say, again, I'm going to go back to my question, why didn't you just say no to the question when it was posed?
Because I wasn't sure any other licenses were required.
Your Honor asked and answered several times.
Okay, I will move on. So just building off of that, you know, or you're aware that TFT does not have any licenses with the contractor's license board, correct?
I am aware of, yeah.
Okay. Did you ever inquire with TFT as to whether it had a license?
No, I did not. I don't look at the licenses as per carefully.
Okay.
They have a checklist that I think they go through to make sure that everything's in order.
Okay. So when the question or when the process was brought by G4S as to whether TFT had a license or not, did you not inquire the TFT as to whether they had the license?
We don't, so the end users don't speak to the vendors directly.
And just to get, maybe, I just want to make sure I'm not confused, because I believe Ms. Sharper testified yesterday that the end user had inquired with TFT as to whether they had the license or not. Would you be the end user?
I'm the end user.
Okay, right. So you did not inquire with TFT?
I did not. I don't remember. Did Carmen say that?
Did anyone else, do you know if anyone else that you work with, I guess, as the end user, whether any of them contacted TFT about the license?
They would not.
Okay. And just, if we can talk about the IFB a little bit. You testified earlier that this is an expansion of the current services, correct?
The current system.
Current system, thank you. And the services include installation, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, if I read the IFB correctly, there is potential for cabling to be involved, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And were you involved in the evaluation process of the bid?
Technical evaluation.
The technical evaluation, okay. So, you didn't do any evaluation, let me ask, did you do any evaluation with respect to responsibility of the bidders?
As far as the company profile, whether they're capable of doing a guest bid.
Okay, and whether they were licensed to contract with, I guess, with GDOE, that was not considered correct because you didn't know whether they had a license or not.
Yeah, I didn't check for the licenses. Plus, I didn't require the C-68 license.
So that wouldn't have been part of the
evaluation? That's right.
Okay. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hope, Governor. Good morning, Mr. Dela Cruz. My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm one of the lawyers working on this procurement matter. I represent PDS as one of the other bidders on this. I understand you're the data processing manager. Could you help me understand a little bit about the procurement training that you go through at DOE? What sorts of procurement trainings have you attended?
So we have our internal procurement trainings on what needs to happen for IFBs, RFPs.
Okay.
We kind of explain what an IFB RFP is, the differences between them, some of the forms and things that need to get filled out.
Is that something that Ms. Charfers runs?
Yes.
So she's the one that trains you? Is that fair? When was the last time?
Her office does it.
Her office does it?
Yeah.
When was the last time her office trained you in procurement matters?
Last year, 2 years ago.
Okay. And what's your role generally in procurement? Are you just sort of have a role because you're the end user for these wireless things? Is that the only role you have?
That's correct. I create the technical specifications.
Okay. You testified earlier to the public auditor that this is just running a wire. My question is, if it's just as simple as running a wire, why not just run the wire? Why is there a need to procure the services for the install?
I have a really small shop. There's about 7 of us. We'll be installing about 1,200 access points. These are all ARP funds, so I kind of need to get it done at a certain amount of time.
Okay, so it's not just running a wire. I mean, you've got an install, running a wire times 1,000 at least, if I understand what you're saying.
That's correct.
And good to get a professional to do the install?
Yeah.
So I am a little bit confused about your mentioning, I think it was 5 times this morning, that you have previously done this 4 times. And this is just an expansion of service. And I'll tell you why I'm confused. Because part of what your testimony is that you determined there was no need for a contractor's license. And if I understand that, you're testifying about that because you called the contractor's licensing board this time, is that right?
That's correct.
And you couldn't get an answer, is that right?
That's correct.
But I want to make clear, you didn't make any efforts for time number 3, time number 2, or time number 1, the 4 previous times this was done that you talked about, to do any of that investigation, is that right?
That's correct.
And is the only reason you never did any of that investigation because nobody asked the question about contractor's licensing board certification?
That would be fair, yes.
So when you say that it's not a requirement, just like Ms. Charfers, who I'm going to offer you, testified yesterday, it's not a requirement. You just never thought about it and never made a conscious decision to say it's not a requirement. Is that true? Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Can you look at, I think the page is, there's a binder in front of you that's got DOE's procurement record. If you could look at the binder, and there's a 489 that's based on, yeah, I think it's that one, yeah.
Page 489?
Yes, sir. And let me scroll to it without crashing my computer here. But
G40.
Yeah, do you see that? G489. Bottom right, there'd be a number. It's Amendment 4. It's the one that's got the answer I think you said you prepared. So if I understand, have you seen this before?
Which one?
The G489?
Yes.
Am I right that you answered that question number 8? Am I hearing that today?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I think you testified earlier that you didn't want to lock yourself in on an answer about licenses. That's why you didn't say yes or no. Is that a fair statement of what you said?
I wasn't sure if there's any license required.
Okay. But would you agree with me that question number 8 is asking just about one particular license, the telecommunications specialty C68 general contractor's license? Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
But you're still afraid that answering that question would lock you into a general answer about licenses?
Yeah.
Tell me how so. I don't understand. Well, somebody says, do I need this C68 license? How does your answer yes or no lock that into business licenses or law licenses or accounting licenses or veterinary licenses?
So I guess the first thing is I'm not a licensing expert, right? So, and we did 4 other projects that we didn't require and nobody ever asked a question. I believe when we did the installation of all the wiring stuff, we asked a question. So by experience, we didn't think it was needed, but now that the question was answered, so I assume if it was needed, then I wanted to make sure that people had the opportunity to turn in the license, I guess.
So when you wrote the answer, it was possible that it was yes, you did need a contractor's license.
It could be, yeah.
So what's changed other than the procurement protest that G4S brought? What is the factual difference between when you answered the question that, meh, I don't want to say yes or no because maybe there is a need for a license, to your 100% certainty today there is no license? What changed, other than the protest and the appeal?
I'm not sure I understand the question. What?
If this answer for Amendment 4, if it was in your mind possible that a contractor's license was needed when you wrote this answer?
Say it again.
See, do you see the answer on page G489?
Yes.
And if I understood your testimony a few minutes ago, you said that when you wrote that answer, it was possible, yes, you may need a contractor's license.
Yes.
This morning, you're testifying there is no need for a contractor's license.
So this morning I said because we didn't need it in the past, we didn't include it in the IFP.
Okay, so your answer, but you testified earlier that you didn't need it, but you didn't think about needing it. It just wasn't written down. Is that
fair?
So your
context is a little off there, right?
It is?
Yeah.
489.
Sorry.
Do you remember when you wrote the answer for G489?
Do I remember when I wrote the answer before?
Do you remember when the answer was written?
I'd like to say what today was due. I mean, obviously, I tried to do my research, my due research to answer the question the best as I could.
But you'd agree? Okay, I don't want to make this complicated. 488. If you look at page 488, it says May 18th, 2021.
Okay.
So is it fair to say on May 18th, 2021, you believe a contractor's license might be needed?
Yes.
Today, do you believe a contractor's license might be needed?
Possibly.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's why I'm confused. All right. So it is possibly required. You just don't know for sure.
I just don't know. So, you know, obviously if they answered it, if I got the response I needed, if bomb license and board said, hey, yes, you need it, I would have included it.
Right.
Because, again, if there's any issues, I believe that just what I've heard from yesterday, it seems like the license and board has mechanisms to address people who don't have licenses. Right, so I don't want to get into the licensing business, so I hope that the licensing board could address those types.
Okay. So DOE, as an agency, says no license is required, but you as the end user accept that a license may be required. Is that, I want to make sure I clarify your testimony. You agree that a license may be required?
Could be. I don't know.
Okay. You made calls to the contracting licensing board. Did anybody at DOE try to capture a log of those communications for the procurement record? Do you remember at all submitting that log of your phone calls to anybody?
No.
Anybody ask?
No, I don't think so.
Thank you, sir. I have no further questions.
Good time.
Sure. Just a few questions. So you're familiar with the scope of work then under this IFB, sir. Okay. And you said earlier that it's essentially, and please correct me if I'm wrong, plugging in cables, I guess, from a switch to the wireless access point?
Yes.
Okay. Now the wireless access points, do they become permanent parts of the structure?
No, do they not.
How about the cables?
I don't believe so. We've had some, I mean, G4S does our cable maintenance, right? They repair it. Change it out.
So they can be removed and replaced?
Yes.
And the switches, do they become a permanent part of the structure?
No, they do not.
Okay. To remove a wireless access point, would that just substantially harm the structure?
I don't believe so.
To remove it, would it render the structure unusable?
No.
Same question with respect to the cables. Removing them, does that substantially harm the structure?
No.
Would it render the structure unusable?
No.
And the switches, removing the switches, would that substantially harm the structure?
No.
Would it render the structure unusable?
No.
Okay. To do any of this work, would you need to build a whole new building at all?
No.
Would you need to tear a building down?
No.
Would you need to tear walls down?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
In your four previous contracts or iterations of installation, do you have anybody come in to check it? To to check to see that it's properly done.
So our first two installations, I'd like to say two installations, we had a consultant with us. I hired a consultant to kind of do the quality assurance of the installation, because our first one we did like 200. The second one was less, and then we got more money, and then I did 800, and now I'm doing it. And then I think we did 40 or 50 after that, and then this one's gonna be like 1,000.
And did you guys need a permit to do any of these installations at the...
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, if you think about the way the access points are, technically they're just kind of devices. I mean, I assume there's Wi-Fi here. We can just put it on the table up here. Obviously we don't want the students touching it, so we kind of just put it on. If they have clips, that you can just clip it onto the drop ceilings.
Okay. But you've never, in the previous four, you've not had needed a permit.
No.
And there was no check at the end, like fire didn't come in to make sure they didn't mess with anything, or DPW wasn't called in to check to make sure that what was done to the building.
That's right. Yeah, there was no building permit required.
Okay. Mr. Park?
I have a question. You just testified that you hired a consultant to do quality assurance. Can you identify who that consultant was?
Elau Associates.
Okay, and do you know if Elau Associates has a C68 telecommunications license? Do you remember inquiring with them whether they had a C68 telecommunications license?
I don't believe we did.
Mr. Wong?
Are your exhibits up there?
Yeah.
G4S has an exhibit binder up there. I'm going to ask you to look at exhibit 7. Oh, I'm sorry, tab number 7.
No, it's tab number 8.
Tab number 8, yes, I remember from yesterday.
1, 2.
It's the white tab 8.
And there's a letter from the contractor's license board. I think if you flip over on the left side, did you see that COB letterhead?
Contractor license, yes.
Have you seen this letter at all prior to today?
Yes.
Have you read it?
Yes.
If you were armed with this letter or something similar to its contents prior to writing the answer that we looked at earlier for Amendment 4, would you provide a different answer to whether or not a COB license is required for this job?
We're talking about the findings, yes?
Yeah, I'm just asking, does this letter change your view on whether or not a contractor's license was needed or not?
Yeah.
It does? What's your conclusion now?
I guess it's a yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions, Your Honor.
Can I do it? Are you comfortable with that statement in terms of compliance with the licensing?
Sorry?
Are you comfortable making a licensing determination based on one letter?
If the CLB is the one that tells us that this is what we need, then I guess that's what I would do.
So you're saying you would rely on the CLB to put the determination as to what license is?
Yeah.
But you yourself, are you comfortable after reviewing this one page making determinations?
I will say I think it's been asked and answered several times.
I think so.
Okay.
Mr. Johnson, did you want to do that?
If I could look at these two pages again. Is there an opinion expressed by the CLB as to whether a C68 license is required for the IFB in this letter? Sorry, I couldn't hear your answer.
So they reference C68, but they don't. So one, they're saying that they don't have a contractor's license.
So is an opinion expressed about the IFB?
No.
It really just says that TFT does not have a C68 license, yes?
That's correct.
And it doesn't actually have an opinion as to whether a license is, any type of license is required to perform this IFB.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Just maybe if I could put the context, sir. I did ask the question to the CLB asking them, you know, what constitutes or what documents I can refer to be able to what would require the C68, because again, a lot of the things that I looked at reference back to construction work, which is why I kind of, just based off this case, this is why we didn't require the C68 when it was asked, right? So, I mean, even if you look at their website, their whole mission is all on construction. And I get it, because I guess with construction, obviously we don't want to be in a building that is not regulated, right? Because we don't want structures to break or things to fall. So just kind of like that, you know, you're trying to understand how this whole thing happened. So I guess I'm trying to give you my idea of how we came up with some of these things. And, you know, how, I'm happy to hear that we're here to make it better. So.
Thank you. All right. Good. Any more questions at this witness?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Your next witness, please.
No further witnesses for DOE, Your Honor.
Oh.
I'm sorry. For the record, I'll say Pacific Data Systems is calling no witnesses.
Okay.
We do have one witness. It's Daniel Coco. He's also our institutional representative, and I believe he's on line via Zoom.
Okay. Did you want a break?
Only if Mr. Johnson needs a few minutes to make sure this is working for him, I'm happy to go to the bathroom now.
Go.
Thank you.
Please.
We're off the record. It's 9:39 a.m.
Dan, can you hear me?
We're back on the record at 9:41 a.m. Vinci, can see there's two cameras.
Where's the other one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he
and
can
sir,
see.
Sir, can I please have you raise your right hand? Please state your full name for the record.
Daniel Joseph Coco.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
Could you start by giving us a little bit of your history in telecom?
My work history is I was employed by Digital Equipment, which was bought by Compaq, which was bought by HP, and I started my career with them in 1977 as a product support engineer. Basically opening up factories and maintaining the installation of the computers and networks to run the factory. And in 3 years after doing that, I was asked to go to Great Britain to work on a large telecommunications project for the U.S. government, where I was the lead product support engineer on the site, responsible for ensuring that the site computers and networks all remained functional 24 hours a day. And then I came back after 3 years on that project, and I moved to Florida, and I was asked to go into sales because of my technical background, and was very successful over the years that I was in sales. And then I left the company in 1999 to pursue a job with a small business firm out of Virginia, where I was able to capture one of the largest telecommunications projects ever awarded in DOD history with our major partner, Electronic Data Systems, where we won the award. The company I was working for at the time was Dataline. We won the award, and we were responsible for the entire voice and data communications throughout the world for the U.S. Navy. After successfully doing that, I started a few businesses on my own in Hawaii, and I've done some consulting work for TFT on certain projects that TFT has won. And then I started in 2007 doing some business development for Guam to support the Marine Corps relocation effort, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with, which basically was delayed and delayed and delayed. So at the request of the governor at that time, we were all in a dinner. He said, well, if you would like, you should try to go after some of the requirements that we have for the government, because your company has the expertise to do that, which at that point I did. And since then, starting in 2012, I teamed with a partner on Guam, and we won the installation of all of the replacement of the existing network switches with a new enterprise network switch.
If I could stop you there. So what is it that you do with TFT?
Right now, I'm their Asia-Pacific Vice President of Operations, and I do business development, and I do project management, and I do the technical design for any bid that we choose to go after.
Okay. Can you tell me a little bit about TFT and its history?
TFT has been in business going on 27 years. My wife, who is a 50% owner, along with her partner, who is also a woman, started the company as a small disadvantaged woman-owned company in 1994 to go after government business and also to support the local community where we're based in Pensacola, Florida. And after 8 years in this federal program, the 8A Small Disadvantaged Program, the company successfully graduated from that program and has since become one of the top IT companies, small business, for many of the large Department of Defense and commercial industry accounts, such as Lockheed, Raytheon, General Dynamics, John Hopkins, many, many customers, and we continue to design and develop servers, networks, and other IT components to support the DoD effort and also on Guam.
Okay. Has TFT ever done any work with GDOE?
Yes. We won the first Wi-Fi contract with a partner on Guam, well, multiple partners on Guam, to install the original Wi-Fi design that Vince's group came up with the specifications for a Wi-Fi environment. And my company, along with Aruba and a couple other major companies, designed that Wi-Fi network based on his specifications. And we bid the job, and we were blessed, and we won. And we installed that Wi-Fi network in all of the 40 schools. At that time, money was very difficult for GDOE to get, and they were they weren't able to do everything that they wanted to do, but we were successful in implementing the RFP specifications on that particular award. And since then, they've come up with three other contracts, which we successfully competed for, which is an expansion of the existing Wi-Fi that Vince's group came up with. And we have teamed 100% with local subcontractors on Guam to do our work. And we've done those projects successfully. With the most recent one that we did in May of this year, we replaced all of the existing UPS systems in all of the switch racks with new ones. And we competed with some of the vendors that we're talking to in this meeting right now. And we hired subcontractors to do 100% of the work for us successfully.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, so this existing, this IFB that we're discussing today, this is an expansion of the wireless network, right?
That is correct.
And who designed that network?
Well, GDOE's technical staff came up with the specifications, and my company, on the last three, we designed the response for the existing Wi-Fi that's in place right now. And in 2013, when Vince's group came out with an RFP based on the specifications that they wanted for a Wi-Fi, my company, along with Aruba and Brocade and a couple other technical partners, designed a response for the original network, Wi-Fi network.
So is it fair to say that the existing, or the IFB that we're discussing today, involves an expansion of the network that TFT helped design?
Correct.
Is TFT licensed to do business on Guam?
We have a retail license to sell hardware and software.
How long has it been licensed to do business on Guam?
I don't know the exact year that we got the license. I've been on Guam now since 2007. So I'm assuming, and again, I don't have the exact date. I'm assuming we got the license probably before the first RFP came out for the Wi-Fi, which is in 2000. No, I'm sorry. We got the license in 2012 when we won the replacement of the enterprise of the switches to run the network, and we've renewed it every year since.
Okay. Was there an issue with the renewal of that license in 2021?
Yes. We always go to Guam. I spent most of my last 10 years with many, many months on Guam, and I usually get to go to the GRT and bring the paperwork and do the license while I'm there. But unfortunately, as we all know, COVID has been a huge issue, and not being able to travel because of the restrictions for quarantine and also the rules on COVID, we sent in our response, I believe, around April the 10th. And we had not received the renewal license back from GRT, and we placed a phone call, and they had told us that they were having difficulties due to COVID, and that it was taking longer than they would like. So we waited, and I just found out, my wife told me that we finally got the license, I believe, on June the 2nd. And during the period from April to June, there were no issues with why we didn't get the license. It was strictly timing and a COVID issue.
Okay. I'd like to ask you a few questions about this invitation for bid specifically. Are you familiar with the scope of work?
Very.
Okay. Who wrote TFT's bid?
I did.
Okay. This invitation for bid, does it involve installing cables?
Yes, it does.
Does it involve installing access points, wireless access points?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Included in the price for the bid, is the cost of that cable included in the price bid by the parties?
Yes, the way the price was broken down, this was a two-part bid, the pricing was separate, and the technical response was first. GDOE's requirement was they wanted the equipment priced separately per school, and then they wanted the labor price per school. That also included all the incidentals, such as cables, mounting brackets, conduit. They did not want that included in the hardware and software and the server portion of the bid. They wanted that to be totally included in the labor content.
Okay, so part of this bid involved selling computer products to the government of Guam. Is that fair to say?
Yes, most of this bid, there's, as Vince, I think, just said a few minutes ago, there's roughly, I don't have the exact number in front of me, around 1,300 new Wi-Fi access points. And there's also a new control server unit that's going to go into the headquarters. And when you take the total cost of that, for us, it was around $1.3 million of our bid of $1.556 million. So the majority of this bid is providing the hardware, Wi-Fi, the switches, the new switches that they required, the access points, the software, and the cabling. The labor portion really is actually not too hard. It's we've done this 4 times in the past, and it's quite straightforward.
When you say it's quite straightforward, what does the labor involve?
The labor involves, there's an existing network that has been installed at GDOE, and the cabling to support that neighbor, that network is also installed in the buildings. And what's required is, in some cases, the IFB allows you to use existing cable that is available to where the access point that they have requested to be installed, where it's to be installed. And that involves removing the cable, the existing cable, and relocating it to where the Wi-Fi device needs to be put, which is, again, quite straightforward. The wiring is already there. It just needs to be positioned where the access point needs to be. And then most of the classrooms already have a outlet in the room, a network outlet. And the requirement is to mount a Wi-Fi device on the wall or in the ceiling, and that requires a bracket for the wall mount and drilling some holes in the wall to install the bracket and then mount the Wi-Fi device on it. And then in a lot of cases, the classrooms have false ceiling, and that requires a clip to put the Wi-Fi device on the ceiling and to run the cable to that device. And the requirement of the cabling that GDOA has specified is that they don't want the students to be able to disconnect the Wi-Fi in the classroom, so none of the cable can be showing from the wall jack where the Wi-Fi connects to up to the ceiling or up to the wall, which requires a plastic conduit to basically to hide the cable so that the students are not allowed to get to it.
Okay.
In addition to that, there's a heavy requirement for programming these units. These units are like a PC. You know, unless you put Windows on the PC, it's really just a box that really can't do anything. And these Wi-Fi devices, they have a command center. And that command center is kind of like the post office. And it tells these Wi-Fi devices what they should be doing, how they should operate. And that requires a significant amount of software configuration. And that is all done remotely.
So where is this software, where are these software services, this software configuration, where is that done from?
We have a partner that we've used since 2013 when the original RFP came out for this bid. We teamed, one of the team members was a company called NextTech, and they're out of Hawaii. And the reason why we teamed with them is they're experts in Aruba. They have all the licenses, the proper licenses and certifications to design a highly complex Aruba network. And most of the 99% of all of the work for the programming is done through the internet.
Understood.
There is no, they do not come to Guam. Actually, they've never, since we've done this project in 2013, no one from NextTech has ever set foot on Guam. They've done everything remotely.
Okay. I just have one last question. So, at the end of this project, if TFT were to finish this project, be awarded this project and to finish this project, if TFT were to remove everything that it were to install in GDOE's public schools, would that cause any damage to the structures?
No.
Okay. Would it render the structures unusable?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you.
Can we just take a short break?
Yes. Dad, we're going to take a short break.
We're off the record at 10:01 a.m.
Recording in progress.
We're back on the record at 10:04 a.m.
Thank you. Good morning. It may be close to good evening where you're at, Mr. Coco. My name is Genevieve Rapatis. I represent T4S. I'd like to ask you a few questions. TFT doesn't have any licenses with the Guam Contractors License Board, correct?
Is the question asked to me?
Yes.
What was the question again?
TFT doesn't have any licenses with the Guam Contractors License Board, correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay, and it didn't have one at the time that it submitted its bid for this IFB, correct?
Correct.
And TFT doesn't have a service business license with the Department of Revenue and Taxation of Guam, correct?
Correct.
Okay. TFT only has a business license for retail, correct?
That is correct.
And that is for the sale of computer hardware and software, correct?
That is correct.
Are you aware that Guam law requires different licenses for services as opposed to the sale or property of goods?
Objection, relevance. He testified that all of these services are provided from Florida. This is an exception to the business privilege tax. It's interstate commerce, so there's no license needed for this.
I'm going to allow the question.
I think there is an issue about whether or not these people are paying their taxes on this island. They're getting a, but for the fact that they were, that they got this contract, they wouldn't have that $1.2 million. And so they should be paying something for the entire contract, not just.
You established that they have a business license here, though.
Well,
you're for retail.
Yeah, Your Honor, if I may, too.
This is retail, though.
Your Honor, if I may, our understanding, too, is that in order to get a contractor's license, you need to have a contractor's license. So.
I'll allow the question.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Coco, again, the question, are you aware that Guam law requires a different license for services as opposed to the sale of goods here on Guam?
I am aware of that today, yes.
Did you just become aware of that right now, or were you aware of that prior to the hearing?
I was not aware that in the past that a service license was required, because almost 99% of the work that's done on Guam by my company is done with local companies.
Has TFT, or sorry, let me step back a little bit. At any time when TFT was putting together its submission for this IFB, did you ever inquire with the Guam Contractors License Board whether TFT needed a contractor's license to do this work?
No.
Have you ever inquired with any other government agency as to what licenses may be required to do this work?
No.
Okay. But you're aware that the IFB required bidders to be aware of and to comply with Guam law in performing this bid and in submitting a bid. Correct.
I am aware that the IFB specifies that the bidder and the awardee must comply with the laws of Guam, and I rely heavily on my subcontractors who reside on Guam to advise me on what's required, and if needed, we would make sure that we comply.
Did you ever inquire with any of your subcontractors as to whether TFT itself needed a contractor's license for this bid?
I have spoken to a couple of our subcontractors that we're using for this bid on the requirement for a contractor's license for this bid, and they have specifically said there is no need. There is no construction work being done on this contract.
And who are those subcontractors?
At the moment, I have Radiocom, and I have Omega International, and I have others that I've been talking with that reside on Guam, that depending on the level of effort that is required to get the cable from inside the building to the parking lot, I rely on my subcontractor to tell me if I need to hire additional resources to do that. So I am in conversation with other people, but at this point, I'm relying on my main sub, which is Radiocom.
Okay, and when did you first contact Radiocom?
When I was putting together the proposal, I knew that there was going to be some difficulty that we would have to address in getting the cable from inside the building to outside the building, so I needed to have a subcontractor that was able to do that. So I've been talking to Radiocom in April of this year, and we had a memorandum of understanding of the work that they would do for me in the event that our company won.
Okay, but you're aware that Radiocom does not have a C-68 telecommunications license with a CLB, correct?
Yes, I'm aware that they do not have a C-68 license. That is correct.
Okay, and I will go, I'll talk a little bit, or I'll ask you about Radiocom a little bit later. I want to go back to the IFB and the work. I think you testified earlier that TFT had previously entered into contracts for similar type of work with GDOE. That's correct, right?
Could you repeat the question again? I didn't hear it.
Yes, so you testified earlier that TFT has previously entered into a few contracts for similar type of work with GDOE, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and for those contracts, TFT did not have a contractor's license for any of those contracts, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And going back to your testimony about your business license, the work that is to be performed in this bid, it includes TFT providing services to GDOE, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so you're not just selling them equipment as part of this IFB, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and all the other prior contracts that you entered into with GDOE, you also perform services under those contracts, correct?
On all of the IFB/RFPs required services, and as I mentioned, we hired subcontractors to do those services for us.
Okay, but you are the primary contractor on all these contracts with GDOE.
That is correct.
Okay.
We own the ultimate responsibility of the success of the bid.
Okay. TFT is incorporated under the laws of Florida, then. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And it is registered to do business on Guam as a foreign corporation, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. In addition to Guam and Florida, can you just tell us where else TFT does business?
We do business around the world. We do business in most of the states. We do business in Japan, we do business on Guam, we do business all over the world. We're a very successful company.
Okay, and do you know what portion of TFT's business is performed on Guam?
Well, my division, which is Guam, and basically Asia, almost 95% of the business is done in Guam.
Okay, but I'm not asking specifically about your division. I'm talking about all of TFT.
From TFT's, the percentage of business that we do on Guam is probably 20%. I don't know exact.
Okay. Are you aware that TFT, in its bid submission to GDOE, checked a box on one of its forms for the local preference?
Objection, relevance. This wasn't brought up in their protest. It has nothing to do with this appeal.
Your Honor, this goes to the credibility of the bidder and the certifications that it submitted to GDOE.
I'll allow the question.
Mr. Coco, would you like me to repeat that?
Yes, I was aware. I did the entire bid, so I was very aware of what documents were signed and what boxes were checked.
Okay, so if TFT only performs about 20% of its business on Guam, why did it check the local preference box in its bid submission?
Because my understanding of that document was the amount of work that my division did on Guam, not the total business the company did. That was my understanding.
Okay, did you inquire at all as to whether your understanding of that requirement was
no.
correct? Okay, so you just assumed that was the interpretation.
I read the document and I did my best to understand what the document required, and I signed my name or my wife's or her officer signed the document.
Okay. And just going back to the work that's going to be performed in this bid, I believe you testified earlier that there was a component of the scope of services that may require removing existing cable. I just want to make sure that that's what you testified to. Is that correct?
No, it's not requiring removing existing cable. It's relocating the cable.
Okay.
So there's an existing network in place at all of the schools, which I think I heard you say the G4S put in. And in many cases, from a cost perspective, it makes sense to use the existing cable, which requires just relocating it to the spot where GDOE specifies they want the Wi-Fi device put.
Okay, so there's some aspect of installation with respect to cabling and wiring, correct?
Absolutely. You know, the Wi-Fi device does not work without a cable.
Okay, and did you ever inquire with the contractor's license board as to whether that work may require a specific license or any license at all from the board?
So to answer your question, you've asked me that question about the contracted license board many times. The IFB did not specify that a contractor's license was...
Mr. Coco, the answer is yes or no.
What's that?
The answer is yes or no. Did you inquire with the CLB as to whether TFC needed a contractor's license for this work?
No.
Okay, thank you. Can you just talk about your bid submission? And I believe you have the exhibits in front of you, but I will just, maybe we could just talk about it, and if you need refreshing, we can refer back to the documents. But you identified several subcontractors in your bid, correct?
I identify my project plan, which includes the use of subcontractors, but I do not identify my subcontractors. It's not required.
Okay, so are there additional subcontractors that you're using for this bid in addition to Radiocom that you did not identify?
As I just mentioned, I did not identify in my bid my individual subcontractors because it was not required, and also there will be additional subcontractors that may be needed that I will hire once my main subcontractor, Radiocom, advises me on what may or may not be needed.
Okay. So my question is, are there any other subcontractors that you did not identify in your bid other than Radiocom that you know right now that you are going to use for this bid?
Yes.
Okay, can you identify them?
Omega Mechanical, who is licensed, has a contractor's license on Guam, GPSI, potentially Radical PC. Again, this depending on the level of effort that I'm told that I will need. I have the funding in my bid to hire the specialties that I need to complete the job.
Okay, you mentioned that Omega Mechanical has a contractor's license. Do you know what kind of contractor's license they have?
They have a general A, B, and C, and then they have a specialty contractor's license for one of their specialties that they do. I think it's sandblasting.
Are any of the subcontractors that you identified, do any of them have a telecommunications specialty license?
Radiocom has a C-15, which is essentially what is needed for this contract.
Okay. Back to my question. Does any of those subcontractors have, other than Radiocom, does any of those other subcontractors you identified have a telecommunications license from the CLB?
Could you say the last part of that again?
Yeah, other than Radiocom, do any of these subcontractors that you identify have a telecommunications specialty license from the CLB?
I believe that a couple of the subcontractors that I'm talking with, yes, do have the telecommunications.
Okay, do you know for a fact, or do you...
I don't know for a fact, no.
Okay. And you just testified that Radiocom has a C-15 license. and that's all that is required for this bid. How do you know that the C-15 license is all that is required for this bid?
Actually, there is no construction work on this bid, so I don't believe that a license is required, period. So a C-15 would go above and beyond what the IFB requires for work to be done.
Okay. Is Radiocom going to be doing any of the work with respect to installation of cables?
Yes, Radiocom will be doing a majority of the work for us.
Mr. Stink, do you want the floor, or Mr. Walsh?
Just a few brief questions. Hi, Mr. Coco, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
My name is Joshua Walsh. I'm one of the lawyers working in this procurement appeal. I work with Pacific Data Systems.
Yes, nice to meet you.
Thank you, sir. I'll be brief. You earlier were talking about dinner, I suppose, with the former governor. I hope it was a good dinner. But you talked about working with a teaming partner for your first project on Guam. Who was your teaming partner?
Carousel.
Does TFT, your company, your wife's company, have contractor licensing in any other jurisdiction in the United States?
No, we're not a contractor, we're an IT company.
Okay. Does your company have service business licenses in any other jurisdiction in the United States?
I'm assuming, and I don't know this for a fact because I don't get involved in that. I'm assuming that we have the licenses required in Pensacola, Florida, where our company is based to do work. And because we do a great majority of our work for the federal government, we do have all the licenses required to bid on federal government contracts throughout the world.
Who does get involved with that at your company in terms of the licensing? I understand you to be the bid writer, is what it sounds like. So who's the person that is the licensing person at TFT?
Our company is very small, so that's something that most small companies deal with. Everyone does what's required in the company to be successful, and it could be my wife, it could be her partner. My son is also involved in the company. He's the product manager for most of our contracts in the U.S. Okay. So I can't answer your question that who's responsible. It's probably a joint decision amongst the members of our company.
Okay, so there are four people, but any one of the other three are the licensing decision makers, not you. Is that fair to say?
I do not do licenses. I support the company. If a license is required, I will do the research to find out what's needed to get it, and then they will provide the funding and the resource to get it.
You were discussing earlier both the concept of having your teaming partner, and then you talked about hiring various subcontractors. You were discussing that with G4S's attorney. Do you understand the
Yes.
difference between engaging subcontractors for a job and then having a teaming partner or a joint venture partner? Is that the concept you're familiar with?
Yes.
What is the difference between hiring a subcontractor for a job versus bidding on a job as part of a JV? Or a teaming agreement?
Well, a teaming agreement puts the responsibility and the financial responsibility of the bid amongst the team. So when I have a team member, and most in my line of work in the IT business, most companies have teaming relationships with other companies, because it's cheaper and more competitive to have those agreements with those companies. From a subcontracting standpoint, it's a fantastic way of being able to hire a specialty that you need rather than having it on board. So if you have a requirement that needs plumbing or electrical work or whatever, you have the ability, rather than having a JV or a partnership with somebody, to go hire that service that you need.
So just to be clear, you do not have a teaming member or a joint venture partner sharing responsibility on this job. You're using subcontractors instead.
That's correct.
Are you aware that this bid requires you to provide a workmanship warranty to DOE?
Yes.
And you agree to provide that?
Of course. We've done it over the last 9 years.
Now, the workmanship warranty would be something tied to the services you provide as opposed to the computers you sell. Would that be fair to say as well?
Yes. The warranty, the workmanship warranty, you know, we're bonded. We have to provide and meet the specifications of the IFB. And that's one of the reasons why we bid very high-end equipment, because it's not easy to maintain a system that's on Guam.
This job for DOE that you bid on, did the Department of Education contemplate the removal of the systems that you would put in as part of this bid, or were you just installing the items?
Well, in this bid, GDOE has some existing switches that are in the racks that we installed in 2012. And those switches may or may not need to be reconfigured. And there's an additional, I believe, 38 new switches that will have to be installed in those racks. So yes, I am aware of it.
Well, I'm actually even asking something even simpler. Like, you were describing the need to run wire with conduit, right? We're going to put up some plastic conduit. You remember that discussion earlier?
Yes.
Is that conduit put up pursuant to a provision of the bid that contemplates them coming down later? Or are those conduits going up to stay?
No, it depends on where the conduit is, but none of the conduit is permanent, and the conduit can be removed and relocated, or if it's in the ceiling, it can be adjusted and removed and put somewhere else. Nothing is permanent.
Thank you. That's a profound statement. I do appreciate that. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
I just have one follow-up question. So you're familiar with the IFB's terms and specifications, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Anywhere in the IFB, did it require you to identify by name every single one of your subcontractors?
There is no requirement in the IFB to list my subcontractors.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Anybody have any?
I do not have any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Coco. Can we release him?
Thank you.
You can leave the meeting now if you want.
Okay, so I'm completed, right?
Yes, you are.
Okay, Your Honor, thank you for allowing us to defend our position.
And TFT has no more witnesses.
Pat, are those all the witnesses that are going to be presented?
Yes, Your
Honor. Do you want to have some closing statements this morning? I will also allow everybody to submit findings of fact and conclusions of law for our consideration.
Yeah, Your Honor, if I may. We did have a discussion about this prior to the hearing. If Your Honor is going to allow us to submit additional briefs, G4S doesn't feel the need to do a closing statement. I know Mr. State may have wanted one, but we're okay with foregoing it and just submitting briefs. I would just ask, in light of the holidays, if we can get maybe a deadline that maybe accommodates us all to maybe enjoy, you know, our Christmas.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Did Did you, anybody, if anybody wants to close, I'm willing to hear it, and also, but I, just be aware, I'm also going to ask that you provide me with findings of fact and conclusions. So.
Well, in light of that, findings of fact and conclusions of law coming in, Your Honor, we don't need to do a closing. But if DOE wants to make a short closing, we'll match that with a short closing.
No, Your Honor, we'll waive that.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honor.
And I'm dressed this way because the office was supposed to be, we're supposed to wear white for spirit. It's not that I was trying to resurrect the dead.
I'm sorry, Your Honor, if I may. Can we talk about a deadline, maybe, for the
final? Oh, yes, there. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I understand that there's a remedies brief that may be due on Monday, so I wonder if it makes sense to just consolidate all briefing for a later deadline, if Your Honor is okay with that.
If I could make a request about that, Your Honor. I had another matter with Your Honor last week that's got me submitting findings of fact and conclusions of law on January 10th. So if we could go perhaps a week beyond that for this matter. And I do like the concept of submitting whatever remedies portion is part of that broader findings of fact and conclusions of law. I think it just makes sense.
I just need to know that this is ARP money, right? And we have until 25 to spend?
Normally we're well, it's either this summer or September 30 for our deadline.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we get the decision out so that you guys can at least encumber if whatever. Okay. The 17th?
The 8th. 18th? That's the holidays for the 18th.
18th.
What's the 17th? That's pretty cool.
Martin Luther King.
Sorry. I see the phobia part.
Honestly.
I'm sorry. I'm sure Sterling Blair Johnson's for a day off and gives bonuses there.
January.
Thank you, Judge.
Don't say it too loudly, we're just upstairs.
We're off the record at 10:33 a.m.